You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
NIWA has recently released their annual climate summary for 2024, which shows that last year was New Zealand's 10th warmest year on record. Of the top 10 warmest years on record, 8 of these have occurred in the past 12 years. The report shows that these rising temperatures, which are in line with global trends, are largely due to climate change caused by humans. As well as this comes as the Copernicus, ECMWF and NASA are expected to release their annual climate summary, which is expected to show that 2024 was the Earth's warmest year on record. I spoke to Principal Scientist at GNS Science, Dr. Nick Craddock-Henry, about this report and what this report means for 2025. I started off by asking him about how rapid an increase in temperatures have we seen for prior years.
The report that came out just the other day, showed that New Zealand has, again, experienced record high temperatures. It showed that regionally, those temperatures have been increasing. So while New Zealand had its 10th warmest year on record, Oceania as a whole, which includes Australia, of course, New Zealand and the Pacific, it was, as a region, the warmest year on record. So I think, first of all, it's important to note that, yes, temperatures have continued their upward trend since the Industrial Revolution in 1850. We have basically been sort of on a slow but steady upward trend. 2023, of course, was anomalous in that we had a couple of big disasters, and I think it was the third warmest year on record. Last year was the 10th warmest year on record, but it continued that inexorable upward trend.
How much of a concern are these rising temperatures at this current stage?
Hugely significant. I mean, I cannot overestimate how significant this is. Again, we are a small island in the Pacific, highly dependent on primary productive industries for our economic growth and development. Primary industries, of course, are incredibly climate sensitive. We have significant infrastructure and assets at exposed regions like the coast. We are experience frequent floods, droughts. All of these things have a major economic impact. And the trend in temperatures globally, so last year, just 2 days ago, following the report from NIWA, the global assessment report came out, which showed that 2024 globally was the warmest year on record. The 10 warmest years since 1850 have all occurred within the last 10 years. So globally as well, we are seeing this trend upwards. And as a small country, we cannot avoid those consequences. Socially, culturally, economically, they are going to be significant, and it is significantly alarming and should accelerate and prompt us to significant action, I think.
Touching on that a little bit more, does New Zealand follow a similar pattern to what we are seeing in other countries across the globe? Or have we seen regional influences impact our average temperature last year, such as through the El Niño and La Niña cycle?
Oh, definitely. We are, again, and that's probably 2024 is a very good sort of rejoinder to what we saw in 2024. So 2023, we had Cyclone Gabrielle, we had the Auckland anniversary floods. Again, it was one of the warmest years on record. 2024, we dropped down, as it were, in terms of the records that we set. We had a number of localized, so medium-scale adverse events in the terminology of MPI. So, for instance, we had significant flood events on the West Coast, a couple of those. We had flooding, again, up in Hawke's Bay. But then we also saw drought that started in Marlborough at the north end of the South Island and then gradually extended over the summer to encompass more and more regions. So I think a couple things stand out. One, this increased variability in our climate is very much consistent with the modeled projections. There was a paper that came out just the other day about hydroclimate whiplash, this sort of alternating between hot and dry periods, extreme drought and then extreme flood, and that again is a function of an atmosphere that is able to both hold more moisture. So when there's warmer temperatures, more moisture in the atmosphere, you get more significant flood events. And conversely, an atmosphere that basically holds less moisture. So when you have that kind of less moisture in the atmosphere, of course, you then get droughts. And so that kind of whiplash between the two is accelerating. So I think that's very concerning for us, this variability, because the the sort of the long-term average, which we've enjoyed, which is essentially the foundation of our current economy, is no longer a adequate basis for planning. We are going to experience continued variability, more frequent extremes, and we need to learn to live with that.
Do you believe current measures put in place from the government and even prior governments are enough to mitigate the concerns associated with the climate crisis?
I think there's two elements to that. First is we need to rapidly and significantly reduce our greenhouse gas emissions. And there's lots of discussion and debate about the significance of New Zealand's net contributions. And that's not my area of expertise, but I do absolutely agree that we need to reduce our greenhouse gas emissions, despite the fact that we are a relatively small emitter. Second, I think the other part of that is we definitely need to scale up our efforts in climate resilience and adaptation. I think that we have a number, we have seen with the recent event, Auckland anniversary floods, Cyclone Gabrielle, flood is now New Zealand's costliest hazard. Flood and drought, sorry, are New Zealand's costliest hazards. I absolutely think that we need to significantly scale up our efforts in investing in future-proofing infrastructure, assets, lives, and livelihoods. So adaptation is not only reducing risks, but it's also realizing opportunities. And I think there's a significant opportunity to invest in adaptation now, to reduce future losses by investing in significant risk management and planning. You know, the old saying, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And I think that absolutely is the case when it comes to climate change adaptation. I think building resilience, enabling more flexible and adaptive responses, improving the ability of our complex systems, whether those are urban systems, whether those are farms, whether that's infrastructure, to actually cope with more significant and more frequent events is absolutely essential and fundamental. And I do think that there is tremendous scope to improve on what we have done to date. So the first National Climate Change Risk Assessment, which came out several years ago, and the subsequent National Adaptation Plan pointed to a significant gap in terms of our effort. So there is definitely some significant work that has been done. We have made a tremendous amount of effort, particularly at the regional level. So councils who are responsible for managing risks and hazards have made efforts towards developing local adaptation plans. There's a number of examples from sectors and industries, things like the Task Force on Climate-Related Financial Disclosure. So businesses are taking this very seriously, but we have a long way to go.
And what can we expect to see this year in 2025?
I think that we will see more of the same, to be honest. As I said, globally, 2024 was the warmest year on record. The National Ocean and Atmospheric Agency in the United States said that globally, what temperatures came out to about 1.29 degrees Celsius, whereas several of the other large global monitoring agencies basically came to the conclusion that it was 1.5 degrees Celsius above the long-term mean. What that means is that for the first time, we have crossed the sort of safe guardrail that was established by the Paris Agreement of 1.5 degrees Celsius. And if we continue this trend, so globally increasing temperatures, nationally, again, our temperatures are highly influenced by our topography, by ocean surface temperatures, by a number of things, but the continued rise upwards, I think, is what we will see in 2025. And that whether or not we see the type of extreme weather event that we had in 2023 or more frequent and more severe localized events like we saw in 2024 remains to be seen. But I think it's undeniable that the trend towards higher temperatures and more frequent and severe damaging events and greater need for us to respond quickly and effectively will only continue.
That was Principal Scientist at GNS Science, Dr. Nick Craddock-Henry, about NIWA's recently released annual climate report, which shows that 2024 was Aotearoa's 10th warmest year on record.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.